This is the Intrepid 77 Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Intrepid 77 Podcast here on the James Bond Complex. I hope you're all doing well. Today I'd like to start a new series on the Intrepid 77 Podcast called Incidental Intelligence. Now, incidental intelligence is something that inspired me from Thrilling Cities, something that Matt posted about a while back and finally got me in the mood to purchase the actual book. Now, after reading Fleming's account of traveling all over kind of wild, exotic places, I started to think about how Ian Fleming really got his start in the whole world of espionage and James Bond. He got it in World War II. While working for the Special Operations Executive. Now, that might kind of ring a bell if you're into World War II history, but if it doesn't, we have to get into the history of MI6. And of course, MI6 is something you've heard about. It's where James Bond works. So, in incidental intelligence, I'm going to be talking to you about all the additional bits of information that go into making James Bond who he is, starting with who he works for, and who he works with. So today we're talking about the Secret Intelligence Service, or MI6. SIS might be something that you have heard, of course, if you follow Instagram and you've seen the SIS training gear account. They come out with t-shirts that make you feel like James Bond from Skyfall, emblazoned with the SIS logo or a close approximation of it. What is SIS? What is the difference between SIS and MI6? Well, there really isn't any. The Secret Intelligence Service is Military Intelligence 6, or MI6. It's just the way the British kind of divide their different reams of intelligence and their different levels of intelligence agencies. The two main ones being MI5, which is domestic intelligence, and MI6, which is foreign intelligence. MI6, as we know it now, kind of started in 1909 as a section of the Secret Service Bureau. Basically, intelligence wasn't as developed and wasn't as fancy as it is now. MI6 was adopted in World War II because the military had different kind of intelligence bureaus going at the same time. They had their domestic, they had foreign, intelligence services doing very particular things, like the cipher school, the government code school called Bletchley Park, which were running, basically intercepting all of the transmissions coming from Germany and Europe and trying to get them out to different parts of the world. And Bletchley Park was the ones who were trying to crack the Enigma machines and trying to crack the codes of the secret messages that were getting out of Nazi Europe. This was hard work, and it was a collaborative effort. The Bletchley Park was known as Ultra, and so they were also called the Baker Street Irregulars. These were people who were literally every day trying to crack codes with absolutely no knowledge of how those codes are encoded. These were mathematical geniuses sitting in a room underground trying to crack what the Nazis were trying to do. Now, you might have heard of MK Ultra, which is the infamous CIA program, but they're not related. Ultra was a program that was, believe it or not, run at one point or run parallel to programs in the United States. Now, as you may know, America didn't join World War II until 1941, sometime after the invasion of Pearl Harbor. But what you may not have known is that the American intelligence agencies and the American effort was there behind the scenes much earlier than that. The British Security Coordination was a British espionage agency and telecommunications agency that was set up in New York, literally at 30 Rockefeller Center. Now, 30 Rock, being a TV show, kind of mimics the kind of vibe at Saturday Night Live. Well, 30 Rockefeller Center, on the exact floor where the British Security Coordination was, is where Saturday Night Live is filmed today. Now, why is that important? Well, the British Security Coordination was run by William Stevenson, a.k.a. Intrepid, a Canadian who was working for British intelligence, was helping to intercept signals going to German U-boats pretty much all over the Atlantic. The combination of the BSC, the already existing Secret Service Bureau and MI6, along with the Special Operations Executive, which Ian Fleming worked for, became what is now the modern-day MI6. So Ian Fleming would have been really involved with the Special Operations Executive. He would later be known for what he called his Red Indians, or the Assault Unit 30. They were basically a group of commandos who were engaging in counterintelligence during World War II. Counterintelligence wasn't something that was really a popular thing in MI6 until that time. So the Special Operations Executive basically were an organization who were specializing in counterintelligence, and they were also into sabotage and things like that. They were kind of the dark part of intelligence. So they were behind the scenes and behind front lines running incidental intelligence and running different programs and doing very different things than what were happening at the front lines. If we take the invasion of Normandy, for example, well, the Special Operations Executive were using that as a diversion to go and raid different radar sites and things like that. They were responsible for Operation Mincemeat, the Trout Memo. The famous Trout Memo that Ian Fleming wrote was born from the Special Operations Executive as well. They ran as a separate organization all the way until the Cold War, when it was then absorbed into MI6. Of course, the British government wouldn't just go out and acknowledge that they had such a vast and reaching and complex security apparatus until 1994. They actually didn't even acknowledge that the iconic building that we see in the Brosnan era was even where the MI6 was based. No one really knew that MI6 was a thing and that their head was named C, and things like that. For all they knew, James Bond was complete fiction. And it is, and it isn't. A lot of the things that came out of MI6 and came out of the history of MI6 and the SOE and the BSC and things like that were all things that helped shape Ian Fleming and the character of James Bond. If it wasn't for the SOE and what they were doing, then we wouldn't have any of these complex plans. We wouldn't have the plot for Goldfinger. We wouldn't have a lot of the stuff that was going on. If it wasn't for Intrepid, we wouldn't have the incredible backstory that we had in Casino Royale. So what the history of the BSC and the SOE and the MI6 did was gave a great backstory for James Bond, something that the British public were absolutely unaware was actually going on. So MI6 is the standard of foreign intelligence. I mentioned before MI5, which is the Domestic Intelligence Bureau. They're the equivalent of the American FBI. They take care of things at home. While they still do some amount of foreign intelligence, there is a little bit of overlap as long as it happens on British soil. One of the best examples of MI5, or the best way to understand MI5, is there is an absolutely great television series that was produced by the BBC that goes by the name of Spooks, or in some regions it's known simply as MI5. And it is a great action series that kind of sums up what British home intelligence and domestic intelligence has to deal with, because while they don't go and spy in other countries, they pretty much look after the spies that are in their country and what they're doing. And that sometimes included the CIA. Now, to note, both Kim Philby and Guy Burgess were both in the Special Operations Executive, as well as being double agents for the KGB. Now, the KGB is something that we'll get to a little bit in later shows. So in the next episodes, expect to hear about the cousins or the brothers from another mother, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, Pinkertons, the American intelligence apparatus. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Intrepid 007 podcast here on the James Bond Complex. Please follow us on our social media accounts at the James Bond Complex and at 007 Intrepid on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until then, thanks for listening.